Great. Well, thank you, Ash. Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you. And for those who are here for the first time, it's particularly warm welcome to you. My name, just to introduce myself, is Andrew Hawksworth. I'm the assistant minister here. And as Ash has explained, I'm going to be speaking a little bit now about this first of these values that we've determined. And I've been a member of this church for 29 years, not so far off 30 years. But 5 years ago, I was working as an architect and alongside others leading an architectural practice in Manchester. But I sensed God's call on my life to change what I was doing and to undertake some theological study, to follow God's leading by faith, and that's brought me into church ministry. You might detect something of my construction background later in this message. Well, it's a new term, new opportunities. Activities are starting up again, and there's a sense of things returning to some form of normality. Well, we all hope so. We must continue to be careful. The virus is still very present. And be considerate of others, those not yet feeling confident to be out and about, those who need help and support. And just to say, there is still plenty of capacity in the church building for you to come and join us. Do book your seat through the online system. But if you forget to do that, do come along. And if we can possibly do so, we will accommodate you. Now, we're going to continue on Zoom. It's been mentioned already. And I do want to just reassure you on that. And thank you, Brian, for the way you led this morning and gave opportunity for us to engage together as we are online and in person. So, a new preaching series. Let's click onto the first slide. At the outset, I want to say a big thank you to all of you who took part in the big church conversation that Ash has referred to on one, two, or even all three of the evenings that were held online in June. And thank you for those who sent in messages in other ways, emails, phone calls, and chats on the person-to-person. If you'd like a copy of the summaries, if you haven't yet got that, they were sent out. But if you haven't got that, Ash referred to 8 pages of information, then do ask. Just email into the church office on info@altrincombaptist.org and we'll send them out to you. So this new preaching series addresses all of that input, along with the prayers and discernment of core team and elders, to shape our vision, values, and priorities for the next few years. And today we begin with the first of our key values, faith in Jesus. You might be thinking, first of all, though, what's happened to our vision statement? Is that still valid or has that changed? Well, you can see that particularly clearly, but I'll remind you what it is: to be a disciple, to make disciples, and to reveal the kingdom of God. And of course, they are based on the greatest commandment and on the Great Commission. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the Great Commission of Jesus, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's the generic mission of the church, both in here in Altrincham and worldwide, and we're not changing it. So the vision remains the same. We will be producing a new vision card. That's our present one. Going to be updating it, of course, to reflect what we've been talking about. Hopefully making it a little bit simpler, a bit clearer, more accessible for everyone to engage with it and apply it. So the first of our key values, faith in Jesus. It was the first key value previously, and similarly to the vision, it's not changing. Our faith in Jesus. There are two aspects to it, and I want to look at them this morning. What we believe and what we do. So what we believe, orthodoxy, and what we do, or how we live, orthopraxis, our obedience to act on what we know to be true. What we believe and what we do should be one and the same, but we are susceptible to separating them. Our experience all too often is to believe, to be convinced by something to be true, but then not to act on it, to choose not to live by it. Can you think of examples? Can you think of Bible verses where that's true for you? Well, how about this one? One that's precious to me and I'm sure to very many. Trust in the Lord with all your heart And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord, and in all your ways submit to him. That little word, all, trips us up. We believe that we should, we know that we don't. Submit everything to God and to trust in him with all of our heart. Jesus is Lord is the shortest creedal affirmation in the New Testament, spoken by the early disciples of Jesus who had put their faith in him. Jesus is Lord. And that concise statement tells us many things. It tells us that Jesus is divine, that Jesus and God the Father are one, and that Jesus is sovereign. He is Lord. To say that Jesus is Lord is also to say that Jesus is the Messiah, the one who saves. In Matthew 16, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And the risen Jesus is also Lord of heaven and earth. Jesus is Lord of the here and now, our daily lives. Jesus said, "All authority is given in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority in earth and on heaven. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority to Jesus. So for Jesus to be Lord of our lives, we need to know him as he is, the Son of God, the Saviour of the world. And we need to put our faith and trust in him, to repent of our sins, the one who forgives, to surrender our lives to him, the one who gives us life, to be baptized in his name, a public confession of our faith in Jesus and our decision to follow him. Faith in Jesus means this, nothing less. And today, more than ever, we need to believe and proclaim the truth about Jesus, the Jesus revealed in the Bible, and the witness of the Spirit of God in our lives. The world needs us to live out our faith in Jesus, to bear witness to him in every aspect of our lives, and to proclaim his name. And of course, we're also Baptists. So what does that mean? Churches in the Baptist Union, of which we're a part, have a common statement of faith. It's called the Declaration of Principle. And it's made up of three short statements. And the first of these is this: that our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, is the sole and absolute authority in all matters pertaining to faith and practice, as revealed in the Holy Scriptures, and that each church has liberty under the guidance of the Holy Spirit to interpret and administer his laws. The second emphasizes the importance of baptism, and the third says this, that it is the duty of every disciple to bear personal witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to take part in the evangelization of the world. Jesus is the sole and absolute authority in all matters pertaining to faith and practice. And faith in Jesus is therefore a rejection of all other things that we might put our faith in. If our lives are focused on other things that get in the way of us living for Jesus, then we're no longer on the narrow path. Other things, the Bible calls them idols, have stolen our heart. They have become more important to us than God himself. There are so many things that these could be, but rather like Jesus teaching about wolves in sheep's clothing, they steal from us. We need to see these things for what they are, false gods, and turn away from them. there's so much more that we could say about Jesus. We should never stop speaking about him, the author and perfecter of our faith. What is key this morning is, are we able to say, as Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. So let's turn from orthodoxy to orthopraxis, what we do, how we live, in obedience, acting on our beliefs. There is a short parable that Jesus tells. We tell it to our children, but so infrequently refer to it in adult church. It's the parable that is simple and clear to understand, full of imagery that helps us to remember it. And it's the parable of the wise and the foolish builders. It's in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. We're going to read from there, verses 24 to 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, that is the teachings of Jesus, and puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Jesus has been teaching his followers about many things before he tells this parable. About not judging others. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? He's taught them to ask God for all that they need. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And your Father in heaven will give good gifts to those who ask him. He's taught them to enter through the narrow gate that leads to life, not the wide gate that leads to destruction. He warns them about false prophets, to be on their guard, to discern, for they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. And he warns them about false disciples, saying, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And then he tells them, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. So I was an architect, and I used to work with many construction professionals, including structural engineers. In any building design, however exciting the new building that is planned is going to be above ground, the most vital element of construction is the foundations. And that's where the engineer starts his work, or her work. Understanding the ground conditions, the water courses, any history of mining, the influence of trees, the type and size of building to be constructed, and many other factors. Everything that you see above the surface is dependent upon good foundations. And they are below the surface. They're not seen. They have to be deep enough, wide enough, strong enough. And if you don't get them right, the consequences for building what is constructed on top of them can be disastrous. What might happen? Well, you might start to see some cracking, perhaps internally at first, through plaster on the walls. But then it might appear externally. Some fairly severe cracking starts to open up. Gaps open and the ground beneath moves. And then the building itself moves. And this is a case of different foundation to the original house, to presumably the little bit on the right there, which is an extension. The extension did not have foundations as good as the main house. This is a famous picture. You may have seen this before, I don't know. It's a pub in Dudley, I believe. and one of the ground moving and this attempt to prop it all up. And then, of course, the example or an illustration of an example of a house built on sand. This is one in the United States. All of this is called subsidence, and some of you may even have had personal experience of it, I hope not, and know the cost and the disruption of dealing with it. You can prop up the building, but it will never be the same again unless you start again and rebuild with new foundations. Of course, the very best foundation is to build directly onto rock. We don't all have a house like that. Maybe even like that. But to build on a rock, if the foundations can go down to the bedrock, the house will be stable. Building our lives on faith in Jesus is the best foundation for our lives. To do what Jesus teaches us to do, to put faith in him and to act through obedience. The book of James tells us to put our faith in Jesus into action in the most direct and unambiguous way. He says, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Couldn't be clearer. And he gives an example of what he means. James 1:15. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well-fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. In the illustration of the wise and foolish builder, externally, the two houses seen above ground could look exactly the same. Our external appearance might look good, but what is happening under the surface? What are our lives really built upon? So when we say foundation is faith in Jesus, and faith in Jesus is our first value, we mean that if our faith is built on anything other than Jesus, on his teachings, on his saving work, we will not stand. When trouble, difficulty comes in our lives, as surely it will, whatever the rain might symbolize for you, whatever the rising streams, whatever the winds that are blowing, cracks will appear. Our idols, our false gods, will not help us at all. We'll try to cover up the cracks, but we can't succeed because the root cause of the trouble is that we've built our lives on false hopes and untruths. To believe in itself is an act of faith. But as we believe, or begin to believe, and as we step out in faith, exercising the faith that we have, we need to act. And as we do, we find that the teachings of Jesus are good teachings to build our lives upon, that we become stronger in our faith as we live in obedience to him. He does direct our paths, and his promise that he will be with us isn't just a comforting phrase. It becomes a lived experience of the power of God within us, enabling us to do his will, to be a disciple, to make disciples, and to reveal the kingdom of heaven where we are. On Easter Sunday, we proclaim Jesus is risen. He is risen from the dead. We repeat the phrase and we say it ever more loudly. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. By which we mean that Jesus has died on a cross, was buried in a tomb, and on the third day rose again. He overcame death. Jesus was alive and after 40 days ascended to the Father. But what we're also saying is that Jesus is still alive today, and that Jesus is alive in those who put their faith in him by the Holy Spirit that he has given us. So this is true not just for Easter Day, but every day. We are to live by faith in Jesus each and every day. And to make that decision to live by faith each day, each hour, each moment. Living by faith isn't a set of rules to live by, but a life captivated by the life of Jesus, by the love of Jesus that compels us to follow him, to learn from him, to know him, and to obey him. And there is more good news. We don't do this alone. We grow in Jesus, we grow in faith in Jesus together. We gather together, united in our love of him. We learn together, share our gifts for the benefit of one another, become a community of God's people, his church, and work together to share the good news of Jesus with others. But I'm straying into the second of our values, and so I'll leave Ash to cover that next time. As we enter this autumn term, we do so in circumstances that none of us have lived through before. We're beginning to come out of a pandemic with the hope that we can begin to live our lives again, doing the things that we love doing and meeting with our friends and loved ones person to person. We could say, well, we need to raise our game for the new challenges. We need to go again, go bigger. And some will want to do that, and that's fine. And if you're ready to, then go for it. Or we could just pause for a moment, take some time. First, reflecting on the foundations that we have built our lives on. This period of the pandemic has affected all of us. We must not shut that down, its impact, the changes it's made to our lives. And in reflecting on the foundations that we've built on, let's then ensure that they are the foundations of Jesus' teaching. To begin with prayer, to seek his face, to repent of sin in our lives and receive his forgiveness. To read again the written word of God, the Bible, and to know the living word of God, Jesus. And to receive the power of the Spirit as we step out in faith again to follow him and do what he directs us to do, attentive only to his voice, obedient to his call. We're going to pray now, and as we do, I'm going to leave a moment for you to reflect. God is speaking, and I pray that we would all open our hearts to him and hear what he's saying to us. Where am I in all of this? Who is Jesus to me? Is Jesus Lord of my life today? Are the storms gathering, the wind and the rain beating down upon you? Maybe in the form of ill health or stress or worries of this life, maybe of sadness and loss. Is your faith being tested? Jesus is saying, trust me. Put your faith in me again. I am near and I am full of compassion for you. Is there something that God is calling you to? It might be simply calling you back to him. It might be that he's calling you into something new. Are you weary? Are you thirsty? Come drink again from the living water. Do you need an infilling of the Holy Spirit upon your life? So we're going to take a moment of quiet to reflect on those things and what Jesus is saying to us right now. May the Spirit of the Lord minister to you, to your heart, to your soul. May we rededicate our lives to the one who has done all for us. May we put our faith in Jesus and in him alone. Amen.